Hey, Zach here, and before we dive into this week's episode, I wanted to let you know that you can actually grab the recordings of our most recent Facebook and Instagram ads for List Building Bootcamp for just $25. Now, in January of 2024, we hosted a 5-day live training where we walked our clients through step-by-step how to set up ads that grow their email list every single day so that they're always growing their business, always growing their audience, and always having new people to make offers to. Now, what's really great about this bootcamp is we have literally dozens of client results from it, and you can get the recordings of that most recent one from January of 2024 for just $25. All you have to do is head to theadsbootcamp.com. Again, that's theadsbootcamp.com. And you're going to learn step by step through how people were able to grow their list. We have incredible results like Zita, who added 67 leads to her list in just 5 days at $1.80 a piece, or Nora Jean, who added 62 leads for $1.12 in those 5 days. We have Brenda, who added over 500 people to her list over the course of a week, under 50 cents a piece. Heather Lalonde, who did over 200 leads at 50 cents a piece. Amy Hughes, who added over 300 leads in a week. I mean, the list goes on. And those are just our January testimonials. We have even more than that, plus testimonials from the last 7 times we've done this, and we would love to have you in next. So if you head over to theadsbootcamp.com, you can grab the recordings for just $25. It'll walk you step by step through growing your list, and in less than 5 days, you could have tons of new leads pouring into your list every day, semi-automated with Facebook advertising. So check it out, and let's get into this week's episode.
This is the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast, episode number 12. Hey there, you're listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. My name is Zach Spuckler, and on this show, we talk about how to go from passionate side hustler to full-time online business owner with tips, tricks, and interviews to help you take it to the next level. Let's do it. What is up, Heart Hustlers? I am stoked because I have Casey Zeman. Now, for those of you that don't know, Casey Zeman is the founder of Easy Webinar and creator, and it's one of the best webinar softwares out there. It is a top contender in all comparisons, and I love using it for my automated webinars. And we're going to talk about a ton of stuff today, but we're really going to hone in on webinars and talking a little bit about evolving your business and becoming more scalable by really diving into the power of webinars. Now, what gets me so excited about this episode is that there are hallmarks to success in this episode that I think so many people miss. And things like, we're going to talk about how much did Casey actually make on like his first big JV webinar? And the answer is going to surprise you. And we're going to talk about how you might actually be giving too much content on your webinars. And the first time I heard this concept as someone who is, you know, a heart, soul, and hustle-based entrepreneur, I was like, I don't think you can give too much, but we're going to talk about how you actually can, and we're going to talk about how to repurpose your webinars and scale up your webinars, and can you get JV partners for your webinars, and it's going to be a webinar episode unlike any webinar episode you've ever heard before. I 100% guarantee it, but you didn't pay, so the guarantee is free. So with that being said, let's jump into today's episode. And I want to give a quick shout out to a sponsor of today's episode, Rock Your Scopes, the premier Periscope for business training. You can head over to rockyourscopes.com where you'll find out all about that course, which includes how to get your first 1,000 followers, even if you're not ready to hit broadcast yet, what you can do to get people hungry to sign up for your emails, and how you can land high-end coaching, consulting, and even program clients with Periscope. Again, it's at rockyourscopes.com. All the info is there, and we are headed into today's interview. What is up, Casey? Thank you so, so much for being on the show today.
Thanks, Zach, for having me. I'm excited to talk about this stuff.
I am super excited to have you here because webinars have been my jam for, I don't know, a couple years now. And as I've been starting to evolve my webinar game, I've been studying webinars all over the place, but we'll get into this, but I just upped my game to like some webinar automation, and you know everything about webinars, and like you're this, I feel like more people need to know about you. So I'm just really excited to have you on today. So before we jump into all the good webinar goodness, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do, all that fun stuff.
Sure. Yeah. Well, so yes, I also am a webinar dork. I love webinars, but I think the reason I love webinars so much is because they have this engagement level that kind of is the evolution from video. And I actually started online as a video marketing consultant. Like back in the day, I was doing YouTube and video marketing ads for Estee Lauder and Dell. And that's kind of how I started my kind of online world. Before that, I was in real estate, and then, you know, the market crashed and the recession hit and I needed to figure out a different job. So that's when I started looking online at like online marketing. And the first thing that really sparked my interest was video, because video kind of bridges this gap of impersonality found on the web, and loved it. Also, I was an actor, like, you know, I've been an actor in my life, right? So like, I was like, this gets me back to my passion, because the real estate thing wasn't really my thing. And so I went into YouTube and I found it to be so awesome, like video for just building that connection and audience. But then I realized that webinars, you know, this was this like next evolution. So that's when I started diving into live video. That's when I created a course actually all about YouTube. It was called YouTube Revealed back in like 2011 to 2012. And I was never able to sell it online. I couldn't make money online until I started using webinars, right? That was the thing. I was a consultant because I was learning all these strategies, but I couldn't figure out how to actually create a course, put it up online, and then sell it, right? Because I created a sales page, I created a sales video, but I wasn't getting any buyers, any takers, until I decided, okay, I see some people doing webinars, let me try this. So I created a webinar. First, I created a free webinar, right? It was probably like one of the worst webinars you've ever been to, because it was, I mean, it was like terrible. I was stumbling all over the place. I was like sharing way too much content. And like the sound was terrible. I was like using a built-in mic and it was just really bad. By the end, I realized that I was onto something, because everybody was like, this was awesome content. This was the best stuff I've had. I can't believe this was free. You know, these are the things I was hearing. I was like, okay, let me try this paid now. You know, I have my program. I'm going to sell it at $200. So I then did a paid webinar, right, where I did the webinar. It was a free webinar, but by the end, I promoted it, right? I promoted an offer. That's what I mean by paid. So I did my free webinar, offered a really great content, and by the end, I had my offer. And in that first webinar, I did $2,000 in sales, but I had tons of people on because I had a kind of a joint venture partner promoting me, right? Some other guy who had a big list, he promoted my program, and I had 10 people that bought at $200. And that was my first experience selling on a webinar. And I was like, okay, this I need to get better at. And I realized that this is something I can scale, right? So I started doing more of them and I eventually got better. Again, I was sharing way too much content. That first webinar where I had an offer at the end, it was at my wife's farmhouse in Iowa. And I remember that one very distinctly because like the radiator was going in the background. I didn't have two screens. And so like sometimes my internet would go in and out. But still, as I said, people still bought. And it was because webinars intrinsically have this like know, like, and trust, right? As I said, it kind of goes beyond video. It goes into this like, I can shake your hand, but talk to you and ask you questions in real time. And that was a powerful element of it. It's a medium by which people can take notes and learn, right? And that's what's so powerful about it. And then eventually, even though I was doing a lot of webinars on my own and maybe getting maybe 30 to 40 people show up at a webinar, I was still able to make sales. And the one thing that I learned at that time was, you know, I priced my program at $200 and I had 10 sales, you know, that first webinar. I then did another webinar where I upped my price by $100. So it became $297 or $300. And that I made double the sales that I made previously. I then upped my price one more time to $997 because I had a joint venture partner who said, Casey, I love what you're teaching, but I can only promote it if it's $1,000 or more. And I was like, I don't know if, you know, if this is that much value. And he was like, yes, it is. Yeah, I looked at it. It's great value. All you have to do is change your value proposition. I was like, okay. So I went in, I changed it from a YouTube course to a YouTube consulting course. So it was like teaching people how to become YouTube consultants or video marketing consultants. And by doing so, I upped the price. I offered maybe a 15-minute intake call. And I noticed that once I had the $1,000 price point, I sold as many as I did at that $300 price point. And I was like, okay, price doesn't matter. It's the value proposition. It's who you're targeting that really matters. And that's when I realized that I could scale it. Even if I had 30 or 40 people on, if I sold 3 units, it was $3,000 every single time, right? And that's when the scalability hit. That's when it made sense. So within my first year of using webinars back in like 2011, 2012, like bridging over into 2012, I built up a list of about 14,000 people. I had sold my first one product throughout the year and did about $245,000. And that was it. And that was just on live webinars. And of course, as you and I were talking already, you know, I've gone beyond that, now scaling, you know, automated webinars. And now that's more of a recurring and consistent thing, doing less live webinars. But that was my first experience. And that's what got me hooked on doing live video presentations to people, answering questions, using it in launches and all sorts of stuff.
Awesome. Well, I love it because there was so much good stuff in there. I want to highlight a couple of those and kind of just expand on them as part of the interview, which is, one of the first things you said is that your first webinar was a bit of a disaster, but then you ended up doing a webinar where you did $2,000 in sales, 10 products at $200 a piece. So can you kind of speak to, I think that people have these grandiose visions that even the people like yourself and, you know, who are doing like multi six figures, even in that first year, you said, but like, there's this expectation that we're running these $10,000 webinars every 2 days. And that's not really the case.
Definitely not. I mean, you're always going to have ups and downs. There's these peaks and valleys in terms of your webinars. So, you know, it also depends on if people are promoting you or not. Like, there's always, you know, one of my strategies that year was to have other people promote me. You know, they became my affiliate, my joint venture partner. So I'd give them 50% commission and they would promote a webinar, promote me on a webinar. And, you know, those webinars weren't always $10,000. In fact, some of them were like $1,000 or $2,000 or $3,000. Now, there were some webinars that did $15,000 to $23,000 and things like that. Those were great, but that wasn't always the case. And, you know, the one thing you have to understand is that if you're looking at people and you're assuming that they're always doing $10,000 webinars or, you know, six-figure webinars or five-figure high webinars, it's just not the case. And if that's what's preventing you from actually doing webinars, then I want you to definitely get that out of your head, because there are going to be days where, you know, you don't make any sales on a webinar and you're like, what did I do wrong? you're going to kick yourself. And you're going to like, what did I do that prevented this from happening? And 9 times out of 10, that's what stops people from doing webinars after they tried one, is that they've tried and they feel like they failed. And they maybe made very little in sales or maybe nothing in sales, right? And they think that that's going to be the trend from here on out, and they stop themselves from using it. I've been there. I've definitely been there where, you know, I've had terrible webinars. And the thing is, you just have to get back on and try it again, or at least go into a program that will teach you kind of some strategies for tweaking your webinars. You know, if you have a 3 hour long webinar and no one's buying, try to condense it to an hour. Try to take out what you assume is supposed to be the good stuff. Like, that's one thing I always had a problem with was, oh, this is the best content because it's the content that I would want, but my audience might not necessarily be at the same knowledge level as me. So It's okay to remove content and to, you know, have that bit of content in your members area or as your paid product. So kind of less is more when you're looking at webinars. Yes, you want to give value, but just think of like bite-sized, digestible chunks of good value that they can get in the webinar. And then, hey, you want to learn more? This program or this product is going to speed up your learning curve. Here it is right here, right? And these are the people that are using it. Yeah, I mean, that is a big myth that, you know, you can make every webinar as a $10,000 to $100,000 webinar. It's just not the case. Sometimes you're going to have great webinars, and sometimes you're going to have so-so webinars, and sometimes bad webinars. It's like any type of show. The more you do it, the better you get, the more consistency you have.
Yeah, and I love it. And I love the direction this interview is going, because there's tons of resources, and I know you have some we'll talk about like the step one, step two, but these are like the little pieces I feel like people don't talk about. Like, your first webinar is probably gonna suck. You might still make money, you might make nothing. And one of the things that you talked about that, I mean, it's something that I learned from being kind of in the trenches with webinars, but I don't really know that I've ever formally learned it anywhere, which is, you can give away too much content on a webinar, but like you can't give away too much content on like a podcast or a blog post or all this stuff. So can you kind of talk about that? You kind of hinted at it, you know, bite-sized digestible chunks, but how do you figure out when it's enough content and when it's too much content? Is there a length you shoot for? Is there like a number of action steps? Is there a number of core steps? Or
yeah, so you know, in the middle, before you get to the content part, like I always think that a good content part, when you finally get to the content that you're sharing, you know, I think 30 minutes is pretty good. Like if it goes kind of above, you know, beyond that, you tend to lose people's interest. So your webinar should be as long as people can stay there, right? As long as their interest is peaked. Now, if you have like some killer content and your webinar and people are like on the edge of their seats for 3 hours long, hey, more power to you. That's awesome. But most people have busy lives. They can only really commit to 1 hour. So, and I say this with me being who has long webinars. Like I have a long automated webinar that's like 2 hours long, right? But I also send them back into like a course and stuff like that. So I kind of do a couple things, but you know, people's attention spans are pretty short. So what I would say is when you're talking about content, you know, if you can think of 3 to 5 content pieces, right? Like these are the 4 steps that you need when you're doing an event launch blueprint, right? Here are the 4 steps for an event launch blueprint, right? Those are 4 bite-sized things. They can consume them, but they're not getting all the complete information in terms of maybe the breakdown step by step by step, but maybe you're showing them, you know, the overview of how this is going to benefit them, right? And they're maybe learning something that they've never learned before. They're like, oh, so wait, you mean I can do a live webinar and then do an encore webinar and then do a replay and then do an automated webinar? That's cool. You know, you're teaching them something that will help them in the future, but maybe not like totally breaking all of it down, because that's maybe what your program does, right? But you may be giving them the strategy, right? And they can go and try to figure out the strategy or come into your program, which will give them, you know, hardcore step-by-step, no thought needed ways to speed up their learning curve. So I would say that's a good way to do it. You know, the idea behind it is, so what I tend to look at is, you know, as soon as someone comes to a webinar, I always say that you need to build a buzz, right? You kind of need to set expectation for what they're going to be learning for that day. And you want to try to keep them there. And kind of the ways to do that are, you know, telling them what they're going to be learning, the kind of a promise of what they're going to be getting. And then also hinting at, you know, you want to stick around because I have this, this, or this. So as I said, it's kind of like this, kind of you create this like expectation and anticipation of what they're going to be getting, which keeps them on the webinar. That leads you into you telling why you are there, why you've decided to create this webinar, and how it's going to relate to them. How your story, this is where you want to kind of talk about who you are and what you do. Your story is the relatability factor that is going to make them say, okay, I like this guy, I trust this person, or, you know, whatever. That's going to be a big factor. And a lot of people always, you know, I remember so many times where someone was like, Casey, I keep hearing from my audience in my webinar that they want me to get to the good stuff, right? They don't want me to share so much of my story, right? They don't care about it. They just want me to get on with the content. And I always say this, that those people that urge you to get on with the content, that don't want to listen to your story, are not your buyers. They are never going to buy from you. The people that buy from you are the ones that relate to your story, that connect with you on a heart level. Like, you know, there's 2 parts of sales. It's heart and logic, right? If they're connecting with you on that heart level, that means that then after that, after you talk about your story and your struggles and where you are now and how that relates to them and how this process that you're teaching them today is what brought you out of that struggle, now you're getting into, you know, after that, you set a really great sort of, you set the ground essentially for starting to connect with them. And then after that, that's when you start connecting with them on a logic level. So maybe you talk about other people who are using this, not just you, you know, like different case studies possibly, or trends in the marketplace. And then that's when you start in with your content, right? But your content can be interwoven into all that. Like you can start sharing valuable content in your story. How I did at the beginning of this podcast, where I talked about pricing, right? This is my own story, but at the same time, you might be learning something based on my own experiences. So that's how your story should be told in a webinar. It should be something that not only is valuable so that they know who you are, but it should help them to grow at the same time. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And I'm So glad that you touched on that, because the webinar flow, just for those of you guys that are listening, it's kind of like, you know, you show up, you do your intro, you get into the content, you do your pitch, you do your Q&A, and that whole process can be, you know, like you said, a 2-hour webinar, but the core content, the teaching, is only 25 to 30 minutes, which always blows people's minds. But that's what makes webinars so easy, I think, to kind of hack into, because you really only need 25 minutes of content, right? You have to figure out your story, you have to answer questions, but you really only need 25 minutes of content. And I want to touch on something that you said in there, which is, you know, you kind of said, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but essentially the webinar is not the only activity. So there's the follow-up and encores and replays. So, you know, even if a webinar tanks, it actually might not have tanked yet. Have you had any experiences like that?
Oh man, yeah. So, you know, for a long time, I was always focused on the live webinar. Like, oh man, this live webinar just didn't do as good as it should have been. I would kick myself. But after I realized that it's all in the follow-up, I realized that even if I did a terrible webinar, I could go and then do a rebroadcast of that webinar or an encore and make about the same amount of sales as I did on that first webinar. Especially if that first webinar maybe wasn't that great, I can redo it and live. I can redo like a second, you know, encore webinar, say that night, right? Or the next morning for those who missed it, or for those who only saw half of it, or those who just want to see it again that didn't buy, right? And then after that, you know, I have people that come through, they purchase off of that rebroadcast, or another word for rebroadcast is encore webinar or presentation. Then after that, I then put the webinar into a replay series. And the replay is where you make most of your money, because technically what you should be doing with a replay is have levels of scarcity. So maybe the replay is only available for 2 days or 3 days, and that offer is only available for that time as well. Or that offer with bonuses is only available for that time, right? And normally when you do it that way, you can see, essentially, I kind of look at it like if you make 10 sales on the live webinar, then the rebroadcast or encore should also make 10. And then you should be able to make 20 in the replay. So kind of this, it's almost like you make double of what you've made on your live and encore on the replay because of the scarcity, because maybe the offer is closing down at midnight on Saturday.
Yeah. So you'd be seeing about 50% of your sales come from follow-up, not necessarily just the live webinar.
Exactly. Exactly. In fact, maybe more, especially if you look at your rebroadcast or encore presentation as the pre-recorded video, because oftentimes you can do that, especially with Easy Webinar. You know, you can run a live webinar and then the rebroadcast or encore presentation doesn't have to be live. And that's maybe one of the biggest kind of secrets that many people don't know is that, you know, when you see people running an encore presentation, sometimes it's live, but sometimes it's the one that they just did live previously, like that, you know, the day before. But it's run in real time and people can ask questions and they have someone in the chat that's manning the chat for them. So technically, it could start right away at the encore. So technically, it's like almost like, you know, 75% of your money can happen on the follow-up.
Awesome. So, I mean, I think that's a perfect segue. So, you know, so let's say, what are like the foundational pieces that you feel really need to be in place before you go automated? So like, let's just say like in 30 seconds, what are the, before you ever go automated, you should have this, this, and this.
I think before you go automated, you have to have a webinar under your belt. You have to have done maybe a live webinar already. Hopefully you've at the very least crafted a presentation or story that will help you to sell your product. You have to have a product, or at least promoting somebody else's product, because some people do affiliate marketing when they do webinars as well. You can do that. You just have to find a product that resonates with your message. If you find that, then that's the direction you go. But I would say definitely you need to, I would say for sure, run one webinar and put it under your belt. Now, whether that's using, you know, your own website or lead pages or Google Hangouts or Easy Webinar or GoToWebinar, whatever you want to use to do the webinar, I would say that's the first step. Things that you need, if you want to put yourself in front of the camera, I would say you want to get a Logitech C920 camera. If you want to have good audio, I would say for sure, maybe get like the Blue Snowball mic, which is a USB mic that literally costs like $65. Logitech C920 camera is essentially, I think it's like $70. So if you're putting yourself in front of the camera, those are two tools that I would suggest getting for a webinar studio, right? Now, You don't need to get those because your computer, chances are, has a built-in mic and a built-in camera. But I like those because they are just a little bit of higher quality for a really affordable price. So that's what I would say in terms of what you'd probably want to do before you go automated. Have a webinar that you've at least done and hopefully you've made money from. That's what I would say before you go automated, because you want to make sure that you have something that converts before you put it into an automated sales system or an automated webinar. Have something that converts. Now, all that takes is just some testing. You know, run it once. See what people say. Get a survey and say, what did you think about this? Was it too long? Was it too short? What did you think about the offer? You can ask your audience all those questions and see what they thought. And based on those questions, you can restructure your webinar to however you need to do it in order to get that conversion. So that's what I would say. Run a live webinar first. Use those tools or put yourself in front of the camera, however you want to do it, and see if you can make that sale. That's what I would say.
Awesome. So we'll link up all those tools in the show notes. And I will say that that's what we used for our webinars and our automation. We use a Blue microphone. I don't know if it's the Snowball. It might be the Yeti mic.
Yeah.
And we also use the same Logitech camera for all of our webinars. And we use Easy Webinar for our automation. And automation is like so powerful because, you know, we've kind of been hinting at it the whole time, but I'll go ahead and say it is, you can't be live all the time. You know, you even hinted at it with the rebroadcast, you know,
yeah.
Not everybody has the time to do a rebroadcast. So automation is like, that's the key to scaling up. And I feel like sometimes webinar automation gets a bad name because people don't like certain things about it or strategies. But the reality is the minute you implement it and you just tell it like it is, and like you said, you can monitor the chat or you can have no chat, or you can even say it's automated. You know, I'm trying to think of who it is, but I know that there's one marketer whose name is totally escaping me that just puts right on the video, you know, recorded on the date. And so automation is such a powerful tool. And, you know, I don't want to run too long, but I'd love to kind of hear, you know, when you first kind of stepped into automation, what kind of results did you see that told you, you know, this made sense?
Well, so the reason I jumped into automation was the scalability factor and the fact that I still wanted to provide my audience with a great bit of content that did the job of a live webinar. Now, an automated webinar, for those who don't know, is a pre-recorded video that streamed, say, in real time. It has the medium of a webinar still, but it's pre-recorded. But during that, you can still have aspects of engagement. So you can ask questions, people can answer questions, and then you can answer them, say, you know, through your email. So like, I have automated webinars running every day that I see questions coming into my email every single day from people that are having questions on the workshop. Or I kind of call it, what I do is I call it a streaming workshop. That way, I'm not saying it's live, because I would never ever say outright that, oh, this is completely live. That you want to avoid. So I call it a streaming workshop because, in fact, that's what it is. But I have questions coming into my inbox every single day from people that are watching those webinars, and I can respond to them and answer questions. So it leverages the ability for you to teach without you having to have, say, 3 to 4 different people helping you. That's the idea of it. Like, you know, if you're doing a live webinar, you can't really answer questions until the very end. But if you can answer every single person's question on an automated webinar, just imagine that, because that's the ability. You have that ability. They feel like they've gotten more personal attention than they would have felt if, you know, you did a live webinar and didn't get to their question, but maybe you hit some other people. Does that make sense? So that's kind of some of the aspects of an automated webinar that are awesome. You can connect even more than on a live. Although I will say this, that an automated webinar doesn't have the same level of engagement, but you have 1/10 of the technical issues, because on a live webinar, you know, anything can happen. You know, my cat just walked in here and is like meowing and we're doing this live call. You know, it's like, so it's the same concept. It's like, you know, it's just anything can happen. And with an automated webinar, you have a little more structure with the story. I can control the environment a bit more, but still have the medium of a webinar.
Absolutely. And I think that that's so key. And I love what you said, which is, I kind of think that some automated webinars have gotten a bad name because they're advertised as being live. But I love what you said, which is, you know, you call it a streaming workshop, or like, I think we call ours like a free video training. You know, mm-hmm. We're putting it in the medium of the webinar. We're clearly structuring it so that it appears to webinar. We get the same thing where we get emails every day. But you know, the reality is it's scalable. It grows your business. And, you know, I always tell my audience, if you firmly believe in your products and your services, anything you can do to reach more people is aiding your growth. So, you know, I can say from personal experience, and I'm sure that we have people listening who feel the same way, who are like, I don't know, because I don't really love the automated webinar feeling. The minute we added them to our business, the compliments rolled in. People were so excited to have access to it at times that worked for them. I mean, there's just so many benefits. I mean, we can't even go into, but I know that your software, Easy Webinar, does all those things, which does allow you to get questions by email, does allow you to have it start at, you know, 3 p.m. in their time zone.
Yeah.
So we're like, we're right now running automated webinars in theory every hour of the day while I'm doing live calls like this. So I think there's just so much power there. I hope that people like listen to this again and again and again, because this is such an unique interview about webinars, and I just love the way it turned
out. Well, let me just say this. I think that people have to understand that the biggest difference between a replay and a webinar is that a replay, you don't know who's consuming it, right? And yes, you can have a question box underneath, but often 9 times out of 10, if they have the ability to fast forward or rewind, they're not really going to ask questions. The medium of an automated webinar, first off, allows you to know exactly how long of the presentation they're watching, the actions that they perform. So if they click on any buttons or ask any questions, all that is saved within Easy Webinar. And it's just a better experience for the end user. And that's a lot of times people think, well, I'll just send them to the replay because I don't want to lie to them. But what they're doing is you're not allowing that end user to have the fullest experience that they can get by just sending them to a replay. Like, this helps not only you to know exactly how much of the content they watch, and, you know, maybe they had to leave early, and based on that, you can say, hey, I noticed you left early, you know, here's the rebroadcast, or here's the replay after, you know, the automated webinar, let's say. That knowing that information is going to help you to serve your audience better. And I think that's the idea behind it. It's going to help you to know what they need, what they've asked. It's going to help them because now they're learning, you know, in that medium of webinars where they can ask questions and they get more aha moments than just a video alone.
Absolutely. And I've gotten that feedback from not just you, but a lot of people I know who run automated webinars. That is, the minute it's not an automated webinar, the consumption rate goes down, less engagement, less conversions. And, you know, like you said, it's a disservice to your audience because they're not, if there's not a time and a lack of fast forward rewind, they think I'll get to it when I get to it, yeah, and they will never get to it. So I love that you said that. So I just have a couple more questions and then I will let you get back to your busy life. So if there was one thing that people could do like right now in the next week or so based on what they learned today, what would you tell them?
Well, first I would say, if you want to know more about like webinars, well, I think, Zach, you're going to put like some links in the show notes on where they can kind of learn some, go through some courses. But yeah, I would say, you know, the very first thing is decide on what your product does for someone, right? Think of the pain point that your audience is experiencing and build a webinar around that, because your product or service or whatever you're doing serves that. And the other thing I want to let you know is a webinar doesn't always have to sell a product, okay? It doesn't always have to sell a product. It can sell a service. So, you know, if you're a doctor or a lawyer or, you know, maybe you're a consultant, create a webinar that offers maybe an intake call where they can get on and schedule a time with you to talk to you for 15 minutes about your service, right? So you take them through a qualification process to say, hey, are we a good fit? You know, this is what I do. This is why I do what I do. Okay, that's what your webinar is, right? This is who I serve. And this is the pain points you're experiencing that I'm going to solve. Now, what I want to do first is qualify you to make sure that we're a good fit. You should be seeing a link below, or you're seeing a button below that will allow you to send in an application to work with me, or rather, you know, send in an application to get on a free call with me, right? You know, something like that, like a calendar link or something where they can then get on a call with you and then you can convert them into whatever you're planning on doing. If it's, you know, if you're a consultant and you're looking to do like a retainer thing with them, that's how you do it. Now, you could do that on an automated webinar as well and let that do the work for you. And then, of course, you know, then get them on a call. But the point of it is that your webinar, your online event or webinar should be really the biggest pain point that your audience is experiencing and how they're going to find the solution in the webinar. Now, that solution could be, you know, the teaching that you're providing, but maybe you're speeding up that solution by offering them the service or the product that you're eventually going to sell. So I would say figure out what your audience's biggest pain point is right now. That's the thing you should walk away from this with. Like, go in, serve your audience, find out their biggest pain points, build a webinar around that, a story around that. Do it for, you know, an hour long. And even if you're not selling something, at the very least, if you want to get on a call with those people, get on a call with them and, you know, use Google Hangouts, use Easy Webinar, use GoToWebinar, whatever you have to do, but try a live presentation and structure it the way I just said.
That's such good advice, because so many people structure the webinar around the offer when you have to structure around the problem. I love that you mentioned that. And next question I have for you is, what does the word hustle mean to you as it applies to business?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. I think hustle means that, you know, hustle doesn't necessarily mean that while other people are relaxing on the beach, you are working with your nose to the grindstone. I think hustle means that you find something that you love and you work at it. And you find that when you're sitting at the beach, you would rather be kind of working, or you get excited about the stuff that you do every single day. And to me, I think hustle is essentially a definition of you feeling passionate about the work that you're doing. And that hustle comes from that passion. So it's not like it's drudgery work. I mean, yes, our businesses, we're always going to have some of those points where, you know, we don't like what we're doing. And we have to push through because we know that we have to look at the end result, or we have to look at that, you know, the 10% that sucks, you know, there's 90% that's awesome, right? And so we still have to do that 10%. But I don't think of hustle as, you know, breaking your back, working long hours and, you know, killing yourself for the end result. I look at it as you should enjoy the process, enjoy the journey. And I think when you enjoy the journey and the process and all aspects of it, and take into account that even the sucky parts, you're still grateful for it. That's hustle. That's something that I see that is hustle, because of the fact that it's exciting to you. And hustle comes from that excitement. And you can't hustle when you don't have a passion, when you don't have something that you're interested in. You're just not going to find that hustle. You're going to burn out. And so you're going to want to make sure that hustle is based around that passion.
Awesome. I love it. And so then the last question I have for you is, where can we find out more about you?
Yeah, so you can find me on the Twitters and the Facebooks and stuff at Casey Zeman. I also have a couple things that you can join, like webinar mini course, where you can learn a bit more about webinars. And I think, Zach, you'll put those in the show notes, is what you said earlier.
Absolutely. Yep.
But yeah, you can find me on Twitter or Facebook or even on Periscope. I love doing Periscope. So you can find me on Periscope at Casey Zeman. And occasionally I break out a Periscope all about webinars or about an online business or launching and things like that. So I'd love for you to connect with me.
Awesome. Well, Casey, thank you so much for being on today. It's been awesome, and I cannot wait to see the results people get with their webinars.
Cool. Thanks, Zach.
Did I tell you or did I tell you? Okay. Now, before I get into our little wrap-up, I want to tell you that the notes are over at heartsoulhustle.com/12. Again, it's heartsoulhustle.com/12. Now, I know I've forgotten the notes in a couple of episodes, but it's always just slash the number. Just so you know, Casey gave us tons of good resources and links, and I do not want you to miss out on them. Now, let's recap for a second, because if you heard what I heard, what you heard is that you can start small with webinars, that you don't have to be doing these massive $7,000, $10,000, $20,000 webinars to get the results in your business that you want. We also talked about how, you know, not all the money from the webinar comes from the live event. And, you know, we've seen that time and time again in our business. We did a promotion where we had over 80% of sales come in the follow-up, and it was a multi-five-figure promotion. So another thing to think about is, if you've done a webinar or you're considering doing webinars, even if the webinar is a disaster, the promotion is not. And I'm so happy that Casey touched on that, because I think it's so important. We also talked about how you actually might be giving people too much content on your webinars, and people really want that bite-sized, digestible content. Only about 30 minutes on a webinar. That's really all people need to get a taste for you and your style. And, you know, I'll kind of slow it down here, because there's just so much we could continue to talk about and so many topics that Casey covered. But what I want you to really take away from this is, whether you've done a webinar before or not, now is a great time to just kind of bring yourself back in. Evaluate your webinar strategy and ask yourself, could I be making more money with webinars? Because the reality is, the answer is yes. There's always something we can do to get more out of webinars, whether it's scaling up, whether it's bringing in JV partners or running Facebook ads. There's always a way to take it to the next level. And if you're looking for a clue on how to do that, Just hit replay because we have tons of insight in this episode that's going to help you take your webinar game to the next level. You guys, that's all I've got for you. I will see you next week on the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. Thanks for listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. For more great stuff, be sure to visit heartsoulhustle.com.